Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument this morning is Britt v. Berryhill. Mr. Schultz.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Barry Schultz on behalf of the appellant Claude Britt. The main issue in this case is whether the administrative law judge erred in failing to evaluate whether or not Mr. Britt would need to elevate his foot to relieve his severe pain caused by the crush injury that he had back in 2008 when the crane fell on his right foot. The failure is reversible error because the vocational expert, actually the vocational expert at both hearings, 2013 and 2015, which was a remand hearing, testified that the need to elevate the leg would eliminate the ability to sustain sedentary or seated work. The issue was clearly raised before the administrative law judge because Mr. Britt testified extensively, again, both at the 2013 hearing as well as the 2015 hearing, that he needed to elevate his leg, that he did elevate his leg for most of the day, even when not working, when he was at home, and that elevating the leg was the best way for him to relieve his pain.
The ALJ, was there any indication of for how long a period this had to occur, though, elevating the leg?
The only evidence that specifically, because Mr. Britt was elevating it most of the day, so he didn't give a specific amount of time.
But I don't mean that. I mean for a number of days looking forward, a week, a month, how long should he keep his leg elevated?
Well, since the restrictions, he had reached maximum medical improvement back in 2009, and his symptoms were basically the same after that. It was an ongoing, if you're asking about the doctor's opinion, right. Okay, I'm sorry. Dr. Vora did not give an explanation.
He didn't say, no.
But, you know, Dr. Vora's opinion was only one piece of the puzzle here, of the issue, because even if there was no doctor's opinion, Social Security ruling 96-8P specifically says that an ALJ must include a discussion of reported symptom-related limitations in the residual functional capacity assessment. And since this issue of the leg elevation was raised, again, extensively at both hearings, the ALJ was required by this ruling to discuss whether or not he was accepting the alleged limitation. And while the ALJ mentions in one sentence that Mr. Britt had said he needed to elevate his leg when he returned to work, the ALJ provides no analysis of that issue at all, and that's contrary to the ruling. Also, Social Security ruling 16-3P has a very similar requirement, so the ALJ actually violated the requirements of both rulings. In addition, in the regulation, 20 CFR section 404.1529, subsection C3, small Roman numeral 6, it states that an ALJ must consider, when assessing subjective complaints, any measures that a claimant uses to relieve symptoms. And the examples given in the regulation are, for example, standing 15 to 20 minutes every hour or having to lie flat in order to relieve symptoms. Well, elevating the leg is a very similar symptom, and so based on the regulation, it's something the ALJ had to consider. In this case, the ALJ seemed to recognize that in his questioning at page 57 of the record of Mr. Britt, but the ALJ actually extensively questioned the claimant about the need to elevate the leg, both then currently and when Mr. Britt had returned to work on light duty, which was a seated job. So having recognized the importance of the issue, the ALJ should have addressed it in the decision, evaluated it in the decision, and he failed to do so. In the commissioner's response to plaintiff's brief, the commissioner doesn't even mention either ruling or this regulation. The commissioner argues that the ALJ properly considered Dr. Vora's opinion, but the commissioner does not address the ALJ's failure to comply with the two rulings. In addition, plaintiff raises the issue of the ALJ's failure to properly address the opinion of Dr. Hildreth. Dr. Hildreth was a consultative examiner whom the ALJ sent Mr. Britt to for an examination. After examining Mr. Britt and making some significant objective findings of the problems with his foot. Dr. Hildreth opined that Mr. Britt could only sustain sitting, standing, and walking combined for 3.5 hours during a workday, and that he would need to lie down for the remainder of the day. The ALJ rejected Dr. Hildreth's opinion, or gave it moderate weight, but didn't adopt it because, for one reason, Dr. Hildreth only examined Mr. Britt one time. But the opinion that the ALJ gave the greatest weight to, Dr. Slotkey's opinion, was an opinion by a doctor who never examined Mr. Britt. And both doctors are internal medicine doctors. In addition, Dr. Slotkey, when asked by the ALJ if he had an opinion about whether or not Mr. Britt would need to elevate his leg, Dr. Slotkey's very short comment was, for comfort. No one followed up on that answer, but stating that he had to elevate his leg for comfort perhaps seemed to mean that it wasn't medically necessary, but that to relieve his symptoms, he might need to elevate his leg. And again, that's exactly the issue that the ALJ had to address in this case. So for those reasons, Your Honors, plaintiff believes that the decision of the administrative law judge is contrary to law and should be reversed. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Levitt.
May it please the court. Good morning. David Levitt on behalf of the commissioner. Mr. Britt is asking this court to focus on isolated statements and ignore the weight of the overall evidence. Mr. Britt looks to, in terms of the evidence, the opinion of one-time examiner Dr. Hildreth and the temporary restrictions of Dr. Vora given less than 2 weeks after Mr. Britt's toe injury. In contrast to that evidence, we have the opinion of long-term treating physician Dr. DeFrino, and we have the opinion of testifying medical expert Dr. Slotkey, who reviewed all of the evidence during the relevant period, and while he clarified the ALJ's question whether leg elevation would be necessary to say that, to ask the ALJ, would that be for comfort, Dr. Slotkey then testified that there was no indication in the record that leg elevation was necessary. And added to that were surveillance videos that Dr. Kodros noted stood in stark contrast to Mr. Britt's presentation on exam. While Mr. Britt in the surveillance videos often was walking briskly on exam, he presented in a very different manner. Turning to Dr. Hildreth gave extreme limitations. She said that Mr. Britt needed to lie down 8 to 10 hours per day, could only sit 1.5 hours per day, and needed either a walker or two canes to walk. Dr. Hildreth was the only opinion in the record to give such limitations. It was based on only a one-time examination, unlike Dr. DeFrino's opinion, and Dr. DeFrino, of course, did not indicate any need for leg elevation, and Dr. DeFrino, of course, had examined Mr. Britt multiple times and treated him over a 2-year period. And Dr. Hildreth's observations on exam were similar to the other opinions to the other medical sources who had examined Mr. Britt in the record, yet they did not give leg elevation or the other limitations that Dr. Hildreth indicated. Dr. Hildreth, of course, seemed to rely upon Mr. Britt's subjective complaints. And as discussed, surveillance videos seem to call those subjective complaints into question. Now turning to Dr. Vora, less than 2 weeks after Mr. Britt's toe injury, indicated on a workman's compensation form, elevate legs as needed. However, on that same form, Dr. Vora noted, return to clinic 4 weeks. So on the form, when Dr. Vora is giving limitations, he's also noting that Mr. Britt must return to the clinic in 4 weeks. Clearly, that is an indication that Dr. Vora's opinion was, or leg elevation restrictions were not meant to be permanent. In fact, Dr. Vora said as much in a treatment note on page 619 of the record, where he noted that leg elevation was an interim restriction. Of course, Mr. Britt did not follow up with Dr. Vora. Instead, Mr. Britt followed up with Dr. DeFrino. And Dr. DeFrino did not note any leg elevation in any of the many, many opinions that he put in the record. And neither did any other of the opinions during the relevant period as well. Dr. Slotkey, Dow, Javeri, Tulin, or physical therapist, Ms. Gardner. And it appears that Dr. Vora's opinion was also temporary because Mr. Britt reached his maximum medical improvement months after Dr. Vora's opinion. And as the ALJ noted, Mr. Britt indicated that he was way, way better months after Dr. Vora's opinion. And the ALJ did not ignore Mr. Britt's allegations of leg elevation. The ALJ noted it in the decision, and the ALJ explained generally why Mr. Britt's subjective allegations were not completely persuasive. And this court has noted that an ALJ need not specify exactly which allegations were not persuasive for specific reasons, but rather a general indication of the persuasiveness of the allegations is sufficient. And in addition, Dr. Slotkey, as I mentioned, specifically considered leg elevation, but said there was no indication in the medical records that such restriction would be necessary. So even if the ALJ did not do an adequate job of considering the leg elevation requirements in the body of his decision by adopting the opinion of Dr. Slotkey, the ALJ accommodated those allegations. And it's also important to note that the ALJ here was not discounting Mr. Britt's allegations that he had significant pain. The ALJ restricted Mr. Britt to a limited range of the most restrictive type of work in the regulations, sedentary work, and added additional restrictions, including the need to use a cane. So if there are no questions from the panel.
There was this video evidence with regard to Mr. Britt walking normally, even briskly. When did that occur? At what point?
That was in the latter half of 2008, Your Honor. So if there are no further questions from the court, the commissioner respectfully requests that the court affirm the ALJ decision based on the overall weight of the evidence and not reverse the ALJ decision based upon isolated medical statements in the record.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Levitt. Anything further, Mr. Schultz?
In regards to the video surveillance, the problem with that, I mean, the ALJ mentions that in the decision, but the ALJ goes on to find that Mr. Britt was limited to a seated job and he needed a cane to walk. So while it's true that he was seen walking at times normally in the surveillance video, which was maybe for 2 minutes at a time approximately, because there were like six different dates for 15 minutes total. The ALJ didn't rely on that evidence because he limited the claimant to a sitting job. But even in the argument just presented by counsel for the defendant, it seems that the defendant is asking the court to overlook the requirements of Social Security rulings 96-8P and 16-3P and asking that the court find, because the ALJ generally found Mr. Britt not entirely credible, that that's enough. But that's contrary to the language of those rulings. And the general scheme set forth in the ruling 16-3P says, once a claimant is found to have a medically determinable impairment, which can reasonably be expected to cause the symptoms that the claimant alleges, without regard for the persistence or intensity or limiting effects of those symptoms, the ALJ then has to consider the entire record, not just the objective medical evidence. So the question isn't just, is it medically necessary because it would maybe cause harm to Mr. Britt if he did not elevate his leg, but did he need to elevate his leg to relieve his severe, intense pain? And if he did, then he could not sustain work. So again, the appellant requests that this court reverse the decision of the administrative law judge. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.